Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and it's always a joy to be able to have folks in our studio that have special testimonies of God's grace. We all have a life story, and as we have the opportunity to hear the life story of others, it often helps us to understand what an awesome God we serve. And today in our studio is a young lady by the name of Angelica Rosa. Angelica, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Greg.
And it's good to have you here. And you trusted the Lord as your personal Savior back in the 80s, is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Early 80s.
Just as a little kid, right?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay, sure. Nobody knows different. All right. So you trusted the Lord as your Savior, and would you say that after that first initial profession of faith, that kind of a thing, just kind of describe what your Christian life was like up until a special event that you want to tell us about today.
Well, I was saved in the early 80s, as I said, and I was learning about God in His true form because I was raised as a Catholic.
Okay.
So my understanding was...
maybe prior to your salvation, maybe it was works were involved
in
being pleasing to the Lord, that kind of a thing.
Yes.
But then after you got saved, you discovered that, that's not a part of my salvation. So it was a totally different concept then of how to live, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. So being saved, I learned so much through reading Scripture and having Christian friends that gave me the understanding of reading Scripture properly.
Okay.
Through that, in those years, I had gotten married, I have three children, living a lifestyle that I thought was godly at the time.
Okay.
And divorced in 2003, just became an angry woman.
Okay, all right.
I was bitter, I was defensive, I was untrusting to people.
Yeah, just really went through a very, very difficult time.
I did. Yeah. But through it all, I have learned, even through those trials, that God was asking me to open up the Bible and trust Him and no one else but Him.
Yeah.
And it still took me a while to actually understand that. So I was going to church. I was honestly living a lukewarm life is what I was living. So I'm a cosmetologist by trade. I was having three jobs at the time to support myself and child support that I had to keep up with.
Right.
So it was difficult, but I kept rolling along with that lifestyle because I just knew I had to.
Sure. You didn't do what was easy. You did what was necessary.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was serving as a cosmetologist one day that something took place where you work that just drastically changed your life. Would you tell us about that?
I will say it did change my life completely. I'm one of the survivors from the shooting in Brookfield from the Asana Salon, and that was October 12th of 2012.
Right.
That day was a beautiful day, I remember, a beautiful warm day, and it was a Sunday. I had 1 hour of my day that was free that was requested from an employee the night before I was working that I gave her a service, and I said, sure, I'd come in and take care of that service.
Right.
So I came in at 10. Everybody there is prepping their day like usual. And I was starting to service Yasmin, her name is, a pedicure. And just moments into it, we turned our heads to the front door, and there was a man in full military armor with duffel bags and sunglasses on and a gun in a hand. And she knew who it was, and she immediately got off the chair and was looking for her mom, who he was looking for.
I see. Day. So this was...
her stepfather.
Her stepfather at the door, full military gear. What was your first thought when you saw that?
I was terrifying. I was shocked. I actually didn't know what to do.
Right.
I wanted to run and hide, but in my head, it went through that he already saw me and her together. He would probably look for me, so I didn't hide.
Okay, all right.
Which was terrifying again.
Yeah.
So Jasmine was looking for her mom, trying to warn her.
Okay.
And I, unfortunately, was watching him take control of the salon, is really what it was.
I see.
And I witnessed a lot of what had transpired throughout the moments that he was in there, literally killing and maiming people.
So was he not barking orders or anything? He just began to shoot.
Well, no, he initially said to everybody to get down on the ground with your two hands up.
Okay, okay.
And two hands on the ground. And most everyone did. And the people that tried to run, they did. And they hid from him.
Right.
So at that time, he started just grabbing his wife at the time and started shooting or maiming people.
Right. You then, when you saw all this happening, did you try to find a place to hide yourself, or how did you respond to that?
I didn't. I was in shock and wasn't sure what to do. Again, he had seen me and her together. So I just watched until he got to me. He finally approached me, and I was still standing up.
Okay.
He demanded me to get on the floor and put my hands up, and I did.
Right.
He was dragging his wife through the whole time so that she can watch everything. And she had pleaded several times to him not to shoot me.
Okay, okay.
And when I got my body to the ground and just laid there, he eventually shot each one of my hands.
Wow. At that point, there was probably the thought, well, this is it. This is the day that I go.
I did. I actually thought that. I felt it. My body was getting heavy.
Yeah.
And it was shaking. And I honestly felt that trembling feeling. And I said a prayer to God. That was my time that I thought, this might be really it, Father. I am going. And I asked him to forgive me of my sins that I've done.
Okay,
and I
kind of felt like maybe this might be your last prayer that you ever prayed then.
Yeah, asked him also give me a second chance in life. And I promised him that if he allowed me to stay, that I would give him that 100% of my life to him and glorify him and be obedient to him. So moments after that was said, I felt a calmness in myself, and the heaviness went completely away. And I knew that was God that answered
had to
my
be
prayer.
God. Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
It was him.
To have been totally just immersed with fear and heaviness and things like that, and then to have said, okay, Lord, if you give me a second chance, my life's going to be different. And then, wow, just like, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. Now, when you sense then this relief, do you remember, were you looking at the ground or, you know?
I had my face down the entire time.
Yes,
I was fearful of him to find anybody moving and come back and trying to finish everything
off.
Any
kind of eye contact or anything?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So did he then eventually leave the salon, or what happened next?
No, he proceeded on to finish whoever was left on the first floor.
I see.
And started shooting and keep killing people. So there was a lot of screaming and a lot of shooting still. And then it had gotten quiet. So it felt like a long time. I wanted to somehow try to get some help. And the reception desk was just a few feet away from me. So my body started to crawl cautiously to the desk.
Right.
And when I started to crawl, there was a woman's voice that I heard on my left side. And she said, "Don't move, play dead."
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't even know there was anybody
else living.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I laid there and I played dead as I should have. And eventually, police did arrive and they got into their positions, and a police officer approached me because I had cocked my head so that he could see me moving a little bit.
Okay.
He approached and asked where the killer was, and I replied and said I didn't know.
Right.
And then there were more feet coming in. You heard all these footsteps, all the stomping, and
Then
immediately he had told the officers to get in position, and what had happened was he started taking the people who he thought were still alive out of the building immediately because they still didn't know where he was.
Right, exactly. So they wanted to get anyone still living off the scene.
Yes.
Right. Okay. At that point, then, did he say anything about your wounds, or he just wanted to get you out and address the wounds later?
Yeah, he got me out right away. He knew that he saw my hands, both hands were shot pretty badly, and so he dragged me backwards. And so we got out of the building immediately and ran across to a McDonald's parking lot, which is just, the parking lot that was right there. And there was an ambulance waiting for me and someone else there that eventually took us to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So imagine you were in such shock that everything was just fuzzy. Was it fuzzy for quite some time?
Yeah, I was in shock for a long time. The hospital was a scary event as well. Again, they didn't know where he was. And it turned out that the hospital that I was at had a lockdown, which police came into the building itself and shut all the doors in the hospital so that nobody could come in and out. And it was frightening because there was no one there for me to protect me. I was by myself the nurses and the doctors.
Sure.
And I thought he really was coming to, come and take care of the rest of the people.
Job. Yes. Yeah. Did you have a clue what the condition was of Jasmine and her mother? Do you have any idea what their conditions were at the time?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
In your mind, they could have even been in the next room in the hospital.
Yes.
Still alive. And so since I couldn't find him, he may be coming to look for them. All of those things could have gone through your mind.
Exactly.
So what is God doing in your heart and mind during this time? Do you remember anything along that line?
It was vague, but I knew I had a comfort that I've never had. There was a peace that he gave me and that allowed me to keep myself alive, that he allowed.
Okay. Well, folks, we have run out of time, but we definitely want to hear, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And so please be sure to join us in a couple of days as we pick up this story, something that you and I probably have never experienced personally, but Angelica is able to say, I came about as close to dying as I possibly could have and began to sense there is a peace, there is a calmness when you turn to God and when you use that opportunity to say, Lord, if you spare my life, you'll have it all. And my friends, regardless of whether we've gone through what Angelica has gone through, we just have one life. Use it for him. Give him everything. You'll never be sorry that you did. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.